is the Business of Reselling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Oman.
Do you ever wish you'd get a score that was just so good you couldn't even tell anybody about it? Welcome to the Business of Reselling podcast. I am so sorry that I missed doing this podcast last week. I have legitimately good reasons for missing this. I was going to do a video episode tonight, but I decided not to do it. It's getting late. Anyway, that's okay. I'll do more videos very soon, but I have to tell you about our new dog. So we got a new dog last weekend. His name is Nikki, and he's 7 years old, and he's the same breed as our last dog, who we still miss very much. But this dog is now in our house and has really taken up our attention for the past week, and he's a total sweetheart. So you'll get to see him on video soon enough. He's a Lhasa Apso, and he's kind of overweight. So we're working on that, getting him fitter. We're pretty active people, so it's nice to have an active dog too. And he seems pretty up to the task. So you'll get to meet Nikki soon. And then the other reason that I haven't done a podcast episode in a couple weeks is because we have been working through a massive amount of inventory that we got recently. And it looks like things are really starting to roll with this new sourcing opportunity, which I guess I shouldn't keep calling it new because it's now been, I don't know, 3 months or so since we've been rolling. But we're kind of figuring out how the collaboration can work. And we're starting to get a lot of stuff. And it's been really great. And so that's been keeping us busy. And I teased you at the very beginning here. And I said something about a score that you couldn't really talk about. And I have to admit that we did score something, and I'm not going to talk about it. It's so weird. You know, this is like, you know, resellers want to show off their bolos and their great finds and their things. And you've seen me talk a lot about some pretty amazing stuff that we have sold. And I'm going to keep this one to myself. The only thing I'm going to say is that it almost moves the needle. Which is my favorite phrase right now. I'm just using that one way too much, so please stop me. When it comes to what we're trying to achieve kind of in our personal lives, and it's close. It's very cool. It's great. Anyway, I can't. That's all I'm going to say. You can hate me for that, but that's all I'm going to say. I hope that one day you're in this position too where you got something you can't talk about. But I can talk about my dog. Who's arguably better than the great score because he's like absolutely amazing. So anyway, that was awkward, but I just wanted to explain why the podcast hasn't been around for a couple of weeks, and hopefully I can get back on track with some videos. And thank you for your feedback. Even though I still have a very small audience right now, I do see people like post links to my podcast sometimes in Facebook groups and stuff, or give me really positive comments about what I'm doing. So I really appreciate those. Keep them coming. And if you're so kind to leave those types of comments, please also make sure you share this podcast with a friend that you think would like it. So with regards to the podcast, I want to start having guests, and I kind of teased that I'm going to have guests, here and there. But I really want to do it. And I have like a list of people in mind that I'd like to approach and sort of have on the podcast to do some interview style episodes. Because as much as I love just sitting here and talking into the microphone by myself, you know, it's great and all. It would be cool to have some different kinds of formats and hear some different voices and perspectives. So what do you think of that idea? Do you think I should have some guests? And if you think there's someone in particular that I should have as a podcast guest, then leave a comment or send me an email and let me know who you think that should be. And I'm going to do guests maybe, I don't know, every couple of months or so just for something different. I just wanted to mention that and give you a little update. Our March sales have been not bad. I think that they are going to get better as we get towards the end of the month because we are posting some really cool stuff at a pretty rapid pace. So we have a couple of helpers. I could still use more, but we're getting a lot more stuff listed, and it's quality inventory. We recently got some stuff that we didn't. At first, we were like, oh, it's cool But then we found out that it's really cool. And it was like all of this costume jewelry, and the makers were, one's called Heidi Douse, and another, and then there's this stuff from Joan Rivers, which of course Joan Rivers had a line of fashion and jewelry. Of course she did. And but I didn't know that until recently, and I didn't realize that it had much collectible value. But now we have a lot of it, and so it turns out there's some pretty expensive brooches in that that mix of stuff. So it's been fun getting all things like that listed, and we have lots of other jewelry and garments and shoes and lots of really good fashion stuff that that's going to be coming into our store. So we've been busy and it's been fun, and I know that the March sales are going to pick up for sure, and as we get into spring, I'm pretty confident that we're going to do very well. So that's kind of the ground level stuff, and I want to do this episode about, I called it Find Your Why, which I don't know, that's kind of a cringy title, like honestly it is, but I've been thinking about like high level, like mission, vision, like purpose for being in business stuff lately, and I'll get into why, but I thought it might be interesting to you if I did a short episode on that and whether it's important in reselling, whether that's something that you need to be thinking about. So listen up and tell me what you think at the end, if this is something that's important to you. I don't think it's necessarily going to be important to all resellers, but since this podcast is about scaling up, and I do think it's more important for anyone who's trying to scale up any type of business, I'm going to talk about it. So here we are. So I used to discuss mission and vision and values concepts all the time in my consulting business when I used to help people write business plans. So I won't get into values today. It's a big topic, but I'll mission and vision. Okay, so people think, oh, it's kind of this like high level, like pie in the sky, you know, concepts in a business. And what does it really mean? A vision statement, according to BDC, and I've linked this source in the show notes. A vision statement expresses a company's main goal for the future, while a mission statement concisely explains how that goal will be achieved. So I think it was Apple. I think it was Apple. Maybe it was Microsoft, but I think it was Apple. Way back in the day, when they were a new company, they had a vision of a computer in every home. I think it was a computer in every home, which clearly happened. Now multiple computers in every home. And I don't remember what the mission statement was, but this is what their vision statement was. Or maybe they called it their mission statement and got it all wrong. See, that's the other thing in business is we get these concepts backwards all the time. But anyway, that's what they used to say, and it worked. So they had this vision for the future, you know, wanting to have a computer in every single home. And of course, they've, you know, changed the technology industry and the way that we work and the way that we do everything. And of course, we all have computers in our homes now. So they achieved that vision. It must be something else now, I'm assuming. And so anyway, that's kind of what mission and vision are about. And I did the work on this when we did our rebrand like 3 or 4 years ago. And back then, the idea or the concept of like the importance of keeping things out of landfill was kind of present for me, but not totally top of mind and not totally at the top of our conscience when it came to what we were doing. Most of our business was still about kind of the thrill of the hunt and like finding those great deals at estate sales and all of that stuff that really makes the business fun and exciting. The stuff that we all love, right? These are, and of course, this is still what makes the business fun, and it's great and it's motivational and it's a driver. But it's not necessarily our reason for doing what we do. And so I kind of still struggled with that concept for a long time. But since these recent chances to expand our sourcing by a lot and very quickly, we've been thinking more seriously about specifically what we're going to do to scale up. So I know I talk a big game about scaling up and have discussed this in conferences and on other people's podcasts and in lots of interviews. But you know, here we've been for the last few years kind of feeling like we couldn't really develop a specific scaling up plan because we couldn't solve our sourcing problem. Like we were insatiable when it came to inventory. And we really felt like that had to be solved. The consistency and the growth in the amount of inventory we could get had to be solved in order for us to nail down a plan and finally move forward with some really structured way of scaling up. So while I wouldn't say like our sourcing problem is totally solved, because all of this stuff is still very new, and of course I still have not been able to go like exactly public about what we're doing, we have been able to acquire a lot more and a lot more consistently. So it's helping to solve that sourcing problem. And so it's got us thinking like, how are we really going to do this and manage this growth and get to seven figures in revenue and then eventually beyond? And I just keep coming back to this idea of like the circular economy. Because what we're doing right now is we're acquiring a lot of stuff that's destined for the garbage, right? So that's what's happening. And I think a lot, I have been thinking a lot lately about the idea of like reuse and repurpose and just making sure that that happens before recycling, that we're, you know, what we're doing as resellers is like, is extending the useful life of products. And so whether you sell like vintage patches or sewing kits or models, or like, it doesn't even matter what you sell, you're transferring the ownership of those things to somebody who's going to love and appreciate them. And you can only hope that they'll do the same when they're done with those items. But we're helping keep things alive, you know, like that's a big part of it. And so that's what we do as resellers, is actually really integral to the concept of the circular economy, that we have items and we need to repurpose them, reuse them, you know, keep them alive, you know, I don't know, reformat them to create new products. There's all kinds of big kind of ideas that are part of circular economy concepts. But as resellers at scale, especially, and collectively, I think too, as small resellers, we have a chance to actually influence the way waste is handled, at least at a local level. But there's problems with that. There's resistance. You know, people protect their garbage. I'm sure you've been in a situation, whether it's at an estate sale or even if it's at Value Village, or you've been somewhere where, you know, there's a person who's about to throw something away and then you want it. And as soon as you want it, they suddenly want it back. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but we have actually quite a few times where it's like, no, everything in the house, take it. And then you make a big pile and they're like, oh, not that. So they didn't want it until we did. People tend to remain very possessive of their things right up until the instant that they let them go. And sometimes even after that, you know, we've done buyouts from people where we've given them the money, taken all of the stuff back to our warehouse. And then a week later, been like, oh, I want this item back and this item back and this item back. So once something is labeled as garbage, it's really hard to go back the other way. Now, in the case where people are just trying to get rid of things, they may call a junk hauler, or they may bring things themselves to Value Village or to the landfill. It's once those things are gone, they're gone. You can't take them back out of the trash. You know, if Value Village takes that and decides not to put it on their shelf, like our local Value Village has a gigantic dumpster right out back, and they throw all kinds of things in there. So, you know, a lot of stuff they end up getting ends up in the trash anyways. So it's hard to go back, right? Once it's garbage, it's garbage. It's gone. There's not much you can do. So we got to keep it out of the garbage. And so that's one of the problems, I think, with this like landfill diversion and waste diversion and some of the things that we're trying to do as resellers, especially if we're trying to scale up. You know, people are like, no, that's trash. And I've labeled it as trash. And therefore, it remains trash and you can't have it. There's also a bit of stigma about garbage picking and dumpster diving, that it's gross or that people who do it are dirty. But like, I mean, who cares if they're dirty, right? Doing a service here. So there's kind of that side of it. So there's like, there's little parts of resistance in the world of like waste diversion and waste management. And people tend to not want to change their thinking about the way that garbage is handled. And I think that's true at like a personal level, and it's also true at a corporate level. So anyway, the more I think about this as we grow our business, the more I'm getting passionate about waste management, and the more I know that we as a society are doing it all wrong. I mean, locally here in Vancouver, we have You know, we have a bunch of different places you can bring things to get recycled. Two of the big ones are NCorp, which takes cans. They take electronics. They take solvents. I think they take cardboard. And depending on the facility, they take a few other things. And we have the Zero Waste Center, which takes, you know, everything from packaging materials to propane tanks, appliances, metals, electronics, and all of that. And so you can drop all of that stuff off for free at those facilities for recycling. Now, we've picked stuff from NCorp, like that gets left on the loading bay, that was perfectly good. They don't have a process within their organization to differentiate what is recycling, what is truly recycling, and what still has a useful life. They don't want it. And they're protective of it. Once it's on their bay, it's theirs. They don't want to have other people in there. And from a process standpoint, I understand this. From a safety standpoint, I can understand this. You know, insurance and things like that. There's certain liabilities and risks to having people come and pick from a business. And it also, there's risks of people getting in the way. So I totally understand why businesses have to have these rules, but I think these are still solvable problems. And like at our Zero Waste Center, which we ironically call it like the total waste center, because there's all kinds of things in there that are also not trash, that are not even ready for recycling. Even something as simple as bubble wrap, which they have like this huge container and you can just bring your used bubble wrap. And this thing is always overflowing with bubble wrap. You think they'll let us take some sheets of bubble wrap to do our packaging? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, I know in some cities, there's places where they have like dump day or free dump day or whatever. People can actually come down and pick. And that's great. And I wish Vancouver would do stuff like that. But I see Vancouver especially as one of these cities where some time ago, we had a mayor who started this Greenest City initiative. And it was like Vancouver was going to be the greenest city in the world. And it was all bullshit. I mean, they did this report and they set all of these sustainability goals and whatever. And like, it was just crap because at the process level, like at the where you and I are doing things as resellers, there's nothing being done. And honestly, we're the ones who are keeping the trash from becoming trash. Are we not? We're very important. But at that kind of level, there's really not a whole lot. It's like instead we're going to ban straws or, you know, whatever. So places like Vancouver say they're trying to be leaders in sustainability, yet they're sending things away for recycling before they need to be recycled, or they're creating garbage out of things that are not garbage. And then giving up these initiatives like we have another one that was like a 25 cent deposit like a fee you have to pay to get a paper cup at McDonald's or whatever, and or to get a bag for your fast food, but the money was just going straight to the corporation and it wasn't actually being diverted to any environmental initiatives. Anyway, we're doing it wrong. Why are we doing it wrong? You know, I have theories I could get into, but I'm already all like woo-woo about this, so I won't go on forever. But business process is one of the reasons I think that companies don't make changes that they could make operationally to divert more waste. Businesses have their way of doing things. They don't necessarily want to adapt it, or they can't culturally get everybody who works there on board with a new way of doing things in order to measurably decrease their footprint. They don't know how, maybe. They don't know how to measure the decrease in their footprint. So even if they were to make changes that could make a difference from a sustainability standpoint, they don't have any metrics to say how they did it or to prove that they did it. So why do it? You know, there's just in a lot of companies just a way of doing things, and people are kind of scared to disrupt it. It's also, there's so many small business owners. Like I think BC has like over 1 million small businesses. And it's easy to say as a small business owner that you're being as environmentally responsible as possible. And that's rhetoric that you can use. And there's no rules against it. And even if you don't necessarily live up or walk the talk, no one's going to audit you. You know, like no one's going to come along to this business with like 5 people working in it and say, like, are you really recycling all of your packaging materials? Like, no one's going to do that. So you can say whatever you want. So anyway, there's reasons. But coming back to the why when it comes to our business and what our mission and vision could be, which is something I think we need to sit down and nail down finally for real. The thing that drives me to grow the business rather than stay in the pretty comfortable place that we're in is this idea that we could actually influence how waste management is done at some scale. Like, we could actually do it. I want to change the game. Like, I do. I want to change the game and when it comes to keeping things out of landfill. That it has just become so important to me, especially recently. So we're looking at a bigger warehouse to allow for scaled up inventory acquisition. We have been, our space has been pretty full for a long time and we've been managing it, but now I think it may be out of hand. I'm putting out an official call for new staff, so watch for that. We need to hire people to accommodate this growth. And I'm also ready to get loud with local leaders about how we are trying to do things differently and why they need to listen. So that's a long road and it's a long path, but it's really got me fired up, which I think you can probably tell. And so I've been thinking, what is our vision and how could we describe it? You know, it could be something like a world where all things, I don't like that word things, a world where all things get the longest possible useful life or something like that. Like, I'm just thinking like big about like the things that are here on this planet, how do we keep them going as long as possible? And then finally responsibly dispose of them when it's time, but only when it's time. An emission could be something like to prevent as many useful things as possible from ending up in the garbage before they are actually garbage. Anyway, I need to work on those, but just sort of off the top of my head, I think those drafts could work. So even though I've known about like mission, vision, values, purpose stuff for a long time as a business consultant, and I've done the exercises, it never really felt authentic to me until now. And I guess to conclude, I might say that there's a time that you will not necessarily know when all of a sudden it is important. And for us right now, it's in this figuring out how to scale and finding the energy to do it because it's hard. It's really hard and it's a lot of work. And so I keep coming back to this waste diversion stuff and how much it matters to me. And so now that mission and that vision are now like a really important driver of growth in our business. And it's keeping us focused on where we want to take it. And now I'm more motivated than I've ever been. And so I did a whole podcast about it. And I don't know if you thought that was totally boring. Hopefully not. I certainly enjoyed getting it off my chest, to be quite honest. But I wanted to share that with you. And if you're interested in that, and I assume that if you're listening to this podcast, you are interested in scaling up your business somehow, think about it. Like, is now the time to kind of sit down and really articulate your mission and vision? Or is it something that can stay on the back burner until you decide like specifically where you want to go with this business? Anyway, I hope you liked that one. It was a lot, I know. I've got some resources in the show notes for you if you want to learn a little bit more about it. And don't forget, we're always buying because we can't stop. Hook us up with a great pick in the Pacific Northwest or British Columbia and you will receive a gift. Like and subscribe, youtube.com/@storagewarriorpodcast. If you're listening to this on a podcatcher, thank you, thank you, thank you. But please come over to YouTube and you'll get some additional extra content there. Anyway, we'll see you next week with Just a Tip. Have a great evening, everybody.